You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 386 in our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, October 1st, 2017, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And before we get started, folks, help us out. Help out the show by giving us a review on iTunes and spreading the word about the podcast. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss how the Braves finished the season. We'll give out team awards for 2017. We'll go back and review our predictions about the team from the start of the season. And we'll also look to the postseason, make some predictions about who wins it all. But first, a quick break. With the Braves' 2017 regular season now in the books, guys, let's take a look at wins and losses. So this year's team went 72-90, losing seven of their last nine. So 72 wins compared to 68 wins in 2016. So, Ham, are you satisfied with the team's improvement this year versus last year?
I am. We're going to cover this in our season bets segment later on. I hoped at the beginning of the season that the Braves would be better than they have been and where they ended up. But I think that was foolish. In hindsight, I think this is where they should have ended up, right, with the talent they had and just where they were. They had a 444 winning percentage. I think that's who they were. I am a little surprised at how they got here, right? I'm surprised that we were battling for 500, up to the All-Star break. And we sort of rode that
and then
high.
Became the worst team in the National League.
Yeah, so a lot of peaks and valleys, right? That huge peak and surprising, but it set us up for some real, bad baseball down the stretch. I maybe wish we'd hope for just a steady 444. So I'm satisfied with it. I didn't have the highest expectations, and I think it's going to be tough next year. I think we'll start to, maybe we win four more next year than we did this year, and I think beyond that we could start to look to win 10 more. And get into the 90s and start to be competitive. So I'm satisfied with where we are. Low expectations.
I thought the team would be better, and I think that it was not unrealistic. I mean, think about all the stuff that went wrong, like Bartolo and Kemp and Dansby and Teheran not being able to win at home and Jim Johnson falling off a cliff and Folty taking a step back the second half of the season. The team could have won six or seven more games. If Bartolo was just, we say this every year, if X was just mediocre, we would have won four or five more games. Go back to BJ and Ugla. Yeah.
But I think every team says that, right? I don't think we were any more unlucky than the average team. I mean, that's part of it, right? The Falcons, the reason they went to the Super Bowl is because they were healthy all last year and the luck was on their side. I think we've had average bad breaks. Because for every Cologne, we had Dickey, who did work out, right? So you roll the dice on two overaged veterans. If you can be overaged, I guess they are overaged. You're going to hit on one of them, right? So I don't know. I don't think there's enough ifs. I don't think it's a disappointment. I think that you have to sort of factor that in, that the Brave ceiling this year was they did not underperform.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I guess the only thing that I feel leaving this season less positive than I did last season was how they finished last season. And I think we all collectively sort of got excited that some potential was there. We saw some things from some young players, Dansby, whoever it might have been, that kind of led us with the offense and everything else coming into this season, which probably led you guys to believe that they would be better this year. And so just the way, I know you guys touched on it just a little before, but the second half, how awful the second half has been. And I know that it's a lot of mitigating circumstances and things like that, but it's just been depressing. And so going into the offseason, as opposed to last year, where you sort of had this excitement, this anticipation about, we were collectively excited about this season to see what was going to be waiting for us now. I mean, I'm like, I'm kind of glad the season's over. I hope they clear a lot of things out, and I hope they really reset it and start fresh, because this was not so great.
See, it's funny, Kurt. I look at it the exact opposite, that while I thought they were going to win more games, I am satisfied with the improvement because of the unexpected infusion of the rookies and what we saw. Like, I'm really excited about a full year of Gohara and Freed. You know, yeah, and Newcomb, and that Ozzy was better faster than I thought he would be. And Camargo and Lane Adams out of nowhere, who I both think will be fixtures off the bench, you know, and Minter and Winkler out of the pen. And
Freeman.
I mean, I just – Freddie Freeman?
Sam Freeman.
He's good. Oh, yeah. No, Sam Freeman. Yeah. Come on, man. My Freddie Freeman joke.
Sorry.
yeah, so, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Kurt. The wins and losses were depressing the second half of the year, but there's so much new blood that's going to come in with this experience under their belts that I'm more excited about the 18 than I was 17, I think.
Yeah, sure. There's no doubt that that is an exciting aspect, that we're going to finally get to see a lot of these players that we've been waiting on. We're going to get full seasons out of them. But I don't feel like they took much of a step, regardless of the win total being three higher. It doesn't feel like there's been much of a step at all. This still feels like a very second, third tier Major League Baseball team.
Well, sure, but they're taking the steps that you have to take that are not part of this unrealistic, insane, the turnaround's going to happen in 2 years narrative that the front office was saying. Like, this is 2019 really is the earliest that they're going to be contending.
But
this is the stuff that had to happen this year to get to 19.
Yeah, and you look at where we were at the end of last year, at the end of the season, we had a lot of voids in the starting rotation, which were filled by stop gaps.
Right.
Next year, we may not need that at all. Right. I mean,
well, we're not getting it,
yeah.
You know, need it or not. I mean, Coppy has been on the interview circuit this week, and at every turn he's saying, look, you know, we needed to sign these 1 year stopgap veterans, and we're not doing that.
The resurgence starts next year. It may be ugly, but it's going to be with our guys, the guys who are part of our future. We're going to start to see this. This was a transition Braves season. This is a forgettable season. It meant nothing. Next year is when it begins. And so that's something to be excited about. We did not have that at the end of last season.
Right. We were just sort of hypnotized by winning 20 of 30 and thinking that this was going to be a top five offense this year, which, of course, was silly.
Yeah.
So heading into Sunday's finale, guys, Dansby had played 48 games since getting recalled from AAA following that injury to Camargo. So in those first 24 games, he was a revelation. He slashed .342, .442 on base, .468. That included six doubles, two triples, 15 walks to 13 strikeouts. In his final 24 games heading into the finale, his slash line was .188, .270, .225. So three doubles, nine walks to 22 strikeouts. He did go 2-for-4 in Sunday's finale. So, Kurt, how worried are you about Dansby heading into next season?
Well, did he take two steps back away from the plate again? I mean, it's amazing how that sort of completely turned around from the first 24 games. I guess I'm worried. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to start falling with Dansby. We had the discussion last week about where we think his career projection trajectory will be and what we expect of him. And I still want to believe that there's more there than a 275, 265 hitter, whatever, and that he can be something more than that. And maybe we should start tempering our expectations and that he's not going to be that. So I'm worried is just that it's going to be an issue where we have a shortstop that doesn't produce for such long stretches of time. And I can't imagine that they're going to fumble through the same way they did this year with Dansby. I imagine he's just going to be out there and out there and out there playing every single day. And so it makes me a little nervous that we're going to go through these swoons where he's just bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not great. This season was really troubling at times. But it is hopeful that he had that stretch. He had one or two really good stretches before things really went in the tank and then he got sent down.
Yeah,
I mean, you just got to hope that he puts it all together.
Well,
it certainly seems like the opportunity is there for him to do it.
Yeah. And he's so young. I mean, he's so young. He's so close to removed from college. You know, his one interesting number in August, you know, he had 68 at-bats. His BABIP, so his batting average of balls in play, was 375, pretty high. So he was getting pretty lucky. Right. It went down to 300 in September and in August. So his luck went down, and his and obviously all of his stats went down with it. So I don't know. The only thing I can have hope for with Dansby is that he gets bigger and adds a little bit more power, and so that, you know, he's not just hitting – so that he hits more doubles and triples, so that he gets his average and his slugging up. I think that'll help him. And then I think, you know, with maturity, he'll be able to maintain that walk to strikeout ratio that he had in August, which is more, you know, one for one, one for two, and not what he's doing when he's bad, which is one for three, one for four walks to strikeouts. So I have hope for him, though. I have hope he's going to get bigger and stronger, and that's what he needs to compete. He's so young.
All right, guys, let's give out some end of the year team awards, and we will start with Braves team rookie of the year. Hammy, who do you got?
I got Camargo. For me, you know, he played in a lot of games. He slashed, had 241 at bats. His slash line was 299, 331, 783. We had no real answer at third base. I mean, Adonis was in the running for least valuable player and most forgettable player from this season. He stepped in and was a revelation. So I give it to him.
Yeah, I've got Ozzy. I mean, he finished with 1.9 war. His slash line was 286, 354, 456. And he did have better numbers from the right side, but his slash from the left was 275, 341, 438. So it's not like he's unbalanced in that way.
Yeah.
And he was just looked ready from the second he got here. And I mean, next year, I just can't wait to see a full year of him. Curtis, who you got?
I said Camargo too, just because of what he meant for the team, the filling in at third and then moving over to short, basically forcing their hand with Dansby. What his long-term role will be, you know, if he can start out the season as our regular third baseman until they figure something out there, and then be a valuable piece off of the bench with a lot of versatility, playing a lot of different infield positions and maybe even outfield some. So I just picked him. I felt like Ozzy's, you know, he just didn't have as many plate appearances and at bats, obviously, than that Camargo did. So, and Camargo, the end of the season, you know, I mean, he ended September 321, 345, 446. So he really bounced back and had a great last month. So that sort of threw it over the edge for me.
In all right, Curtis. Face, Steve.
Yeah,
Steve.
How's it feel to be wrong?
Let's stay with you, Kurt. And who do you got for Team Cy Young?
To be right again. This one was nearly impossible because the pitching staff really had such few bright spots on it. Some young guys.
It was a lot of mediocrity to choose.
Yeah, there were some young guys that had some nice runs here at the end, but I didn't really feel like they should be our Cy Young because they really weren't up here all that long. So I went with Vizcaino. Although, God, looking at his numbers, he only had 14 saves, which is just insane. As a team, the Braves only had 36 saves, but was very good. Had some stretches where he struggled a little, but was really consistent as long as he was healthy. And, you know, looks like a guy that we can pretty faithfully rely on as a closer next year. So he was my choice as the team Cy Young.
Hammy, who you got?
I struggled as well. I ended up going with Dickey. I mean, he was the most steady. He gave us 190 innings. You know, I know he had a 4.26 ERA, but there were stretches where he really, you know, held the rotation together and was the stabilizing force. So in, you know, from a pool of not many attractive options, Dickey was the one who I give it to. But I call it not the Cy Young, maybe the Buddy Carlisle Award.
So I reluctantly gave it to Dickey as well. Like you said, he led the team in innings pitched. He was second in war of the starting pitchers at 1.6 compared to Folty's 1.8. But it seemed I mean, Folty just wasn't in the conversation for me.
Yeah.
But as a close second for me was Sam Freeman. Hammy, who you mentioned. I mean, he pitched the second most innings of the relievers, 60 compared to Jose Ramirez's 62. He had the highest WAR of any of the relievers at 0.7, and he was really the most consistent guy out of the pen.
Yeah, he's got good stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, and he's going to really be a piece next year.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to least valuable player, and I'll start on this one. And again, a lot to choose from.
Many more options for this one. Yeah.
But I went with Matt Kemp. I mean, despite his hot start, Kemp had a minus 0.5 WAR. He led the team and the league in ground into double plays. I mean, I know he got injured, but he disappeared for big chunks. You know, his defense was average to bad. He's just a giant hole in the lineup now, and just sort of, you know, I'm penalizing him as well for us being stuck with him next year. Hammy?
I hate to say it, but I'm going to go back to the top of the show. It was Dansby for me. Even with his August resurgence, he appeared in 144 games for us this year, started a lot of those. And at the end of the day, he was not good. I mean, you could say somebody like Adonis, who didn't get a lot of appearances, but or Jace Peterson maybe didn't have the numbers that Dansby did, but we weren't relying on those guys as much as we were relying on Dansby. And he's let us down in his first year here. And I think he, for what we were hoping from him and the opportunities we gave him, he was the least valuable. Doesn't negate what I said earlier.
I hope Dansby listens to the show this weekend and it spurs him on. Curtis, who do you got?
I hope he listens to the first section and then cuts it off.
I'm going to the opposite side of the field. I'm going with Julio Teheran. Not that those two picks weren't very deserving, but Julio was supposed to be our ace and throughout what might have been his worst season ever. On top of the fact that his home record was 3-10 with a 5.86 ERA. He gave up home runs by the dozens, and really was sort of the leading problem with our pitching staff, that he was so unreliable. And it's so maddening that you would see him, that he would go and throw one of these gems, which you know is there, and then the next game he would give up 8. So he was my LVP for the season because we needed him so much as our ace, and right, he did not live up to that level.
All right, Hammy, who do you got for MVP of the year?
So this one was a little easier. It's for me, it's still Freddie. He led the team in average, OBP, slugging, even through his injury and his, you know, weaker second half or last quarter of the season. He still is the man, and as he goes, so goes the Braves. So, you know, there were a couple other people who maybe had considerations. Not a lot of people in this category, but for me, it's Freddie. And I think as long as he is a Brave, he will be the most valuable player to this team.
Yeah, I'll jump in and agree 100%. I mean, he's not only the best player on the team, the most talented player on the team. He is the engine. Curtis, do you have anyone else?
No, and it's still a shame that this season was sort of robbed from him from that injury. And who knows what he could have done, and you know, might have gone on to be the first person since Andre Dawson or somebody to win an MVP from a team with a losing record. But
right,
he was so amazing at the beginning of the season before he got
locked
hurt
in.
And so it's just unfortunate that it got robbed from us.
Totally. Who's your second place? So second place for me is Ender.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, then I think you sort of struggle. Maybe Brandon Phillips. I mean, really.
Or Camargo. I mean, Camargo, you know.
Yeah.
He was so instrumental filling in and was just such a surprising offensive force.
Catchers.
The catchers collectively.
So you're willing to give Camargo MVP, but not Rookie of the Year. I see. I see how that goes.
Well, I'm still mad at him stealing Dansby's job. You know.
Sure.
All right, Curtis, what do you have as the worst front office move of the year?
Well, I sort of thought about the Dansby situation and how they handled that. I sort of thought about the Cologne thing, but at the time, the Cologne thing made sense. And I think that personally, the decision that they made that might be the worst was retaining their coaching staff, bringing back Brian Snitker, and now putting themselves in another situation where they're going to have to go through this all over again. I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be gone. And I think it's time that they got rid of everyone, get rid of this coaching staff that seems to just stay here forever. I mean, there's so many guys that have been on the staff since even when Bobby Cox was still the manager.
So are you saying get rid of TP and Eddie Perez and
everybody?
Wow. Whoa. So including Ron Washington.
Unless you're making Ron Washington and the manager.
Well, that is the presumption.
Yeah. I think that the environment around the Braves right now, unfortunately, is one where they are a losing franchise, and they need to change all that. So whatever it takes to kind of change that atmosphere that's in the clubhouse and at the park, because it's going to be a bunch of young guys. We just talked about that. They really need to change the mindset that going out there and losing at this level is not acceptable. I don't mean like at the major league level. I just meant with this number of losses that they need to compete the whole way through. And Snitker's done a lot for this team, and it was amazing the way he pulled the team together last year. But I think that, and I've supported them bringing him back, but now looking back, I think that they should have gone in a different direction. And Bud Black, of course, has steered the Rockies into the playoffs. So
they got a little more talent.
Yeah. And, you know, so I joked about it on Twitter on Sunday to today when we're recording that after Snitker brought in Jim Johnson in the Sunday finale, that he's daring them to fire him. But I kind of think he's daring them to fire him. I mean, it came out, I don't know if you guys saw, but it came out after there was 3-4 weeks ago. It was like a 3-2 game. And he brought Jim Johnson in, and Johnson was firmly in the midst of his total collapse. And after that game, John Hart confronted Snitker in the clubhouse after the game about, what are you doing bringing in Jim Johnson? And the fact that after he brought in Jim Johnson again this week, and after that, someone committed an error, I don't remember, and then he gave up a 3-run homer. This was Thursday or Friday this week. To bring him in the last game of the season, it to me, he really is just like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want. And you guys, you know, you guys fire me if you want. Yeah. I really believe that.
I hope that proves to be true. Yeah. Of course, I think that's a really good one. I mean, I there weren't a lot of them. I thought, I consider Cologne as the worst front office move.
Me too.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you have to swing in, you know, you got to take some shots. And so they hit with Dickey. They didn't hit with Cologne. For me, the trading Jaime Garcia and Recker for Huascar Ainoa, he's far from a sure thing. He's a far off prospect, and I had hoped for more. It felt like, you know, there's all this talk about 8 teams wanting Garcia. He had that like no hitter where, or not no hitter, but 8 innings where he hit the home run, right? That like second to last game. He looked great, and I thought we should have gotten more. And I think I felt like we panicked on him. I don't know. So Cologne's up there, but for me, different from that one is the Garcia Recker trade.
Yeah, I will go with Cologne. And I get that it's easy in retrospect to say that, because I agreed with the signing. It made sense. But God, it could not have gone worse. And to have eaten all that money. And for him to have then gone on, not the front office's fault, but for him to have gone on and actually been productive again in the American League, no less. I still will never understand that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end up with best front office move. And I'll start. And I'm going to go with calling up Ozzie and unseating Brandon Phillips. You know, Ozzie played his first game on August 1st. And at the conclusion of the game before that, Phillips was slashing .290, .333, .435, playing fantastic defense. But I was impressed that they stopped all the sort of talking out of both sides of their mouth about we're competing and we want to win now. And this was a look to the future. And they really did it and knew it was going to be sort of a tough situation with Brandon Phillips and did it anyway. To me, that's the winner. Curtis, what do you got?
Well, you mentioned him in that point that you made. I'm going with the signing of Brandon Phillips. I know it was brought on by Sean Rodriguez's unfortunate accident in spring training, but to get Brandon Phillips for nothing, $1 million,
yeah,
for what he provided to the team, both as a player and I think as a mentor to these young guys, and then have the class to give him the opportunity to play for the postseason. He was such a fun player. I know he had a great time being back home playing for the team, and he really was a very productive player. I mean, we had some older guys who really did not do much of anything for the team, and the same could not be said for Brandon Phillips. I know that maybe he was a little sour when they moved him over to third, but it had no impact on his play. He played a brilliant third base when he was over there and continued to hit the whole time. So I just thought that was a great signing, the way that they pulled him out of the Reds. And so that was my best front office move for the season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess mine rounds out a top three list. I don't know if it's the best because I think those are two good ones. I thought getting Matt Adams when Freddie Freeman went down and quickly, and over the course of the season that proved not to be so good, but he really was able to step in and sort of keep the team on that 500 pace. So I thought that was and they did it quickly. They did it pretty cheaply. I thought that was a pretty good move.
Yeah, no, I agree, Ham. Not only was it quick and decisive just from a PR fan standpoint, et cetera, it was just the right thing to do. And the fact that it then worked out so beautifully while Freddie was out was just icing on the cake. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, and that the fact that you'll have him around next year is a nice solid bench piece with power that can back up Freddie Freeman. That's not too bad.
Yep. All right, Hammy, let's go back to the end of March, where we made predictions about the not only the Braves season, but the coming postseason. And let's go back and look at what we said and how we did.
Okay. So there were sort of 9 prop bets that we made on the season, and then we also predicted who the final standings and who would make the postseason. So prop bet number 1, who would get the first hit at SunTrust Park?
I remember this one.
Both Steve and I said Will Myers, because the Padres was our first team there, and Curtis said even higher in the order, Manuel Margot. You thought the first batter for the Padres would get a hit. It actually ended up being Ender Inciarte, so none of us got that. The next one was who hit the first homer at SunTrust. Steve said Markakis. Kurt, you said Freddie. I said Will Myers again, and it actually was Ender. Later on in the game, hit a homer. So Ender was the opening. He's the Michael Tucker of SunTrust Park. Next one, we got to Fulte's ERA at the end of the year, over under 4.25. We all went under. I won't give us the numbers, but I was the most ambitious at 3.6. Fulte ended at 4.79. So far, none of us have hit any of our bets. over under Freddie's home run total in 2017, 35. Kurt, both you and Kurt said over. I said under at 32. He, in fact, hit 28. So I am on the board with 1 point. Over under on Matt Kemp's home run total in 2017, 24. Both Kurt and I said over. Steve, you said under at 22. It was under. He hit 19. So you get that. Curtis, still no scores.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hold on. Did we have a Matt Kemp will hit the same number of homers as Kurt Suzuki question? Because that happened exactly.
No.
Sorry, go on.
That was not it. Over under on Dansby's batting average and OBP at 265, 325. We were all hot on Dansby. We were all over by a bunch, and he ended up 230, 311 on the season, so no. And then 2 true or falses. True or false, Adonis Garcia is the starting third baseman on July 1st. Steve, you said false. Kurt and I said true. It was false. It was Camargo. So Steve is up 2-1. True or false, Brandon Phillips is the starting second baseman on August 1st. Nope. False. It was Albies. So we all got that right. And then finally, the big question, over-under on Braves wins for 83. Steve.
Oh, I know I didn't win this.
Yeah, well, it was 83. You said 84. You went over. Kurt went under at 78. I went under at 80. It was under at 72. So Kurt's on the board. Steve and I are tied. All right. That was it for our prop bets. And then for the postseason, so we all picked Nats, Cubs, and Dodgers as the division winners in the NL. We also picked the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Astros as the division winners in the American League. None of us got any of the wild cards right. So, Steve, you said Mets and Cards, Rangers, Blue Jays. Mm. I am wrong. I'm sorry. Kurt picked the Rangers to win the AL West, so he did not get all the division winners. He picked the Blue Jays and the Astros as a wild card, so he missed those. I picked the Blue Jays and the Mariners. And then the National League, Steve, you picked Mets Cards. Kurt, you had Giants Cards, and I also had Giants Cards. And as we know, it's the Diamondbacks and the Rockies in the National League and the Yankees Twins in the AL. So... the only thing that's yet to pay out is the World Series. Steve, you have Red Sox over the Dodgers. Kurt, you have Indians over the Dodgers, and I have Indians over the Cubs. And right now it's 9. Steve and I both have 9. Kurt, you have 7. There you go. That's where we stand with our postseason bets.
Kind of amazing that we got the division winners right. I don't think we've ever been that close.
No. I went back and was looking at some. We're way off, usually.
All right. So next up is Shot in the Dark, guys, but first a quick break. All right. So Shot in the Dark, our predictions for the week. And let's start by reviewing how everyone did last week. We'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Caleb Calbo, who predicted that Kurt Suzuki would break the 20 homer mark and that 4 rookies would homer in this final week as well. And it got kind of close. Suzuki did hit a homer in the final game this week. So he got to 19. And 2 rookies, Lane Adams and Ozzie Albies, also had homers this week. So thanks for playing, Caleb. All right, let's see how we did. So, Ham, you very astutely predicted that the Braves would go 8-0 this week.
And I was right.
Yes. So very close, so like you're saying. Yes. 2-6 this week.
That's not the same thing as undefeated.
No.
I should check that definition.
All right, Curtis, you predicted Gohara in his final start would go 7, give up 2 earned and 6 strikeouts. And it was looking very good for you for a while.
It was 6 plus with 2 earned and 6 strikeouts. And then the bullpen came in to relieve him.
Yeah. So he ended up at 6 innings, 4 earned and exactly 6 strikeouts. And then I predicted that Freed, Gohara, and Newcomb this week would combine for an ERA below 2.8. And boy, not even close there. Freed had 2 good starts. He gave up 1 and 2 earned runs. Gohara gave up 4. Newcomb gave up 3. Collectively, over those 4 starts, they had a 4.35 ERA. So no one wins this week. So putting aside the absolute travesty that was Hammy's cavalier attitude to the integrity of this entire
game. I see it as the complete opposite. Like, it was so much on the line. I'll give it to you, Steve.
No, it's been recorded. It's here for posterity. There's no changing it.
Okay.
So Kurt wins the final 2 months.
Yes.
And all the glory that comes with that.
That's right. So congratulations, Kurt. I'll send the championship belt over.
Yes, there is.
Year.
And there is so much glory that I'm going to go wake my kids up right now.
All right. So, Ham, tell us again who we had in the World Series predicted at the beginning of the year and who we had winning it. And then we're going to re-predict now to close out the show.
Sure. So you had Red Sox, Dodgers. Over the Dodgers. Kurt had Indians over the Dodgers, and I have Indians over the Cubs.
All right, so I'll start first. So, Kurt, not having any recollection, of course, of what we had predicted in the beginning of the year, I have now predicted what you predicted at the beginning of the year, that Cleveland wins it over the Dodgers. Hammy, how about you?
I like to make more bets than that. So I have the Astros beating the Red Sox and the Indians beating the Yankees, the Indians then beating the Astros, and then I have the Cubs beating the Nationals, Diamondbacks beating the Dodgers, Cubs beat the Diamondbacks, and then the Indians beat the Cubs. I'm sticking with my original bet. Indians over Cubs.
Yeah. Curtis, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I picked Indians over Dodgers, so I might as well stick with it. I'm not going to go through the rest of them.
So there's some pretty sexy series coming up.
Cubs,
I mean,
Nats.
Reds, Cubs, Nats, great. God, I just cannot wait for the Nats to lose again in the first round. Let it be.
Red Sox, Astros.
And Red Sox, Astros is like fantastic. Can't wait for that.
The Red Sox pitching, though, has not been good lately.
I'm just saying, I just think it'll be a very good series. And the Astros, so rootable.
Yes, absolutely. Very likable.
Yeah, you got to figure it's Indians, Astros, Dodgers, Cubs, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so sick of the Cubs already, too. But I certainly, you know, it's all about the Nationals losing.
Yeah, right.
Do you think that the Dodgers have really sort of sorted out everything that was ailing them during this horrible?
No. And they don't. The relief pitching's not great. I mean, I think the Diamondbacks could be big trouble.
I think they will be. I think the Diamondbacks are a better team. And I think their starting pitching is looking great. And they've got a solid lineup up and down the order. I think they're going to beat the Dodgers.
So who do you think? I'm sorry, Hammy. You said it in your predictions, but you think the Yankees beat the Twins in the one game play-in?
I do, and I think the Diamondbacks beat the Rockies.
Yeah, I bet the Twins are going to beat the Yankees.
Yeah,
just because of the poetic justice of it all.
Yeah, I would love that. I still hate the Yankees.
And I don't know the Twins very well, but will Santana get that start?
Yeah, it's Santana versus Severino.
Wow.
Yeah. Who is great. I mean, he's awesome. So that's I think that gives them the advantage.
But Santana's been really good this year, right?
Yeah, 16-9, I think.
Maybe. And Sano just came off the DL, so he's back. It'll be very exciting. I'm really looking forward to the postseason.
Yep, me too.
All right. So a couple last pieces of business. So we will next week will be the last of our weekly shows. So next week we will make an off-season Braves shot in the dark prediction. And we will, we will ask you folks, the listeners, to make some off-season Braves shot in the dark predictions as well. We'll reach out on Twitter about that. And so stay tuned. We are back again next Sunday, and that is the show. So remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our past shows, our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit-